What's the number one thing you want to get out of this training?
Clarity.
Train a person, activation.
Be very proficient in activating patients.
Okay, you want some clarity?
Getting everybody that calls our office to be a patient.
Yahoo! So how to convert everybody. I love that. Excellent. Anyone else? Okay. Well, let's go and start. Everyone grab a pen. Make sure you write some of this stuff down. Now, some of it is going to be refresher, but definitely we're going to discuss some new things as well. But get a pen handy. Write this stuff down. I want to first cover some real broad principles that's very important for you, for staff members, anyone who is potentially in that interaction, that first moment interaction with a prospect, somebody who's interested, somebody who's having pain or suffering. I want to cover some principles. Number one principle is this. We all hate selling. Therapists hate selling. It's the staff members who go to work for a medical type of an organization. We hate selling. It's in our DNA. We just don't like to do it. That's why we went into healthcare, because we don't want to sell.
Right.
So I want to make sure that you understand that I'm not trying to teach you how to sell or be a used car salesman or trying to be a salesperson of any type. What I am wanting you to do, though, is I want you to understand some very important principles. And number one is that patients, prospects, consumers, when they call you or they respond to an ad or if they walk in because you have window graphics, and when they take a step towards you, why do you think they're taking a step towards you?
They think you can maybe solve the problem?
They have a problem. Do you guys understand that?
Mm-hmm.
They have a problem. The only reason why they're taking time out of their day to call you or to come in or initiate a step towards you is because they have a concern, they have an issue, they have a problem. You have to understand that. And they are, I'm going to tell you, when you have a problem, concern, or an issue, and you take a step towards someone, you make an effort to solve it, are you hoping, wishing, and wanting to find a solution?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Again.
Or do you like wasting your time?
No.
You know what I'm saying? You are looking for a solution. And that's what I want to make sure that each one of you, every one of you understand that when someone takes a step, I don't care if they send you an email, I don't care if they call you or walk in, whatever it is, if they take a step towards you, they are wanting a solution. They're hoping that you will be it. Do you understand that?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, if you grasp and embrace this concept, you will begin to understand what you need to do. I don't want you to sell your services, but what I want you to do is I want you to solve people's problems. I want you to help people with their concerns and issues. Isn't that the business that you went into?
Yes.
So how do you do this? And I'm going to tell you, number two, if you embrace number one, number two is you always have to define the problem. This is a common mistake I'm seeing a lot of people make. A lot of practices, a lot of receptionists, a lot of front desk people, a lot of activation specialists. I'm seeing that they're making a mistake. Their number one concern, if anyone calls, walks in, or sends an email, their number one concern should be what?
Finding out what the problem is.
What's wrong? What is wrong? you need to define clearly what the issue, concern, or problem is. And this is where I'm seeing failing, because somebody's calling, like, for example, let's say I'm a caller, I call in and you say, you know, physical therapy, I say, yeah, how much does it cost? You guys take Blue Cross? What does the typical receptionist or activation person, if someone calls and says, yeah, how much is it going to cost? Do you guys take Blue Cross? How do you think most people respond?
I give it a try.
Depends.
Pardon?
They might say it depends what your problem or issue is.
Okay, now.
Well, the first thing I ask them is what's wrong with them.
Okay, but I'm going to tell you, let me address what, was that Fernando who spoke up first? All right, let me address what Fernando, because, you know, a lot of people will say, well, it depends. Now, if you have a problem and you call somebody and you start inquiring, when they start saying things like, well, you know, it depends, I can't really say for sure, do you feel like they're a solution?
No.
But the thing is, to a person, to a staff member, to a receptionist, it's very, very easy to say, well, you know what, it depends. But it's words you cannot say. What you want to do, I'm going to tell you, some people call and they're very assertive. They're very intimidating. They're very rough. So I'm going to tell you, a lot of receptionists feel kind of a little bit intimidated if someone calls and says, yeah, how much does it cost? Like, especially if it's a patient, let's say, like me, and calls and says, yeah, you know, my doctor's saying that I should get physical therapy, but I want to know how much does it cost. You got to take Blue Cross? I'd say most receptionists are going to say, you know, let me, hold on a minute, let me find out. Or they're going to say, yeah, we take Blue Cross, but I can't tell you exactly how much it's going to cost until I verify your benefits. So what I'm saying is most receptionists will actually just comply. They'll comply, they'll go ahead and just react to the question. This is, and you guys, this is who we are. We're built this way. So you have to almost put yourself aside and say, you know what, this is not me at work right now. You have to leave yourself outside at the door. And when somebody calls, somebody walks in and says, you know, how much is it going to cost? You got to take Blue Cross. What should be the response?
What seems to be the issue?
How did you hear about us?
All right, now, if it's somebody who seems like they're very pressed for time, that they're just wanting to cut to the chase, yeah, my doctor says that I should get physical therapy, but, you know, I want to know how much it costs. You know, do you guys take Blue Cross? Receptionist, you must control this interaction. Anyone can blurt out answers to questions. Anyone can answer the phone. Anyone can say, you know, welcome to physical therapy. Anyone can do those things. But it's how you do it that can determine how much your organization grows, how much you grow, how much money the organization makes, how much money you make. It's how you do it is going to really determine the success of you, your position, and your organization. So I want to make sure that you clearly understand this and write this down. You must respond with, well, do you mind if I get your name? You must present a question that makes you appear like you know what you're doing, makes you appear that you are caring, makes you appear that you are concerned about them and you want to provide service. So one of those questions can be,
there's a lot of feedback.
Yeah, you know what, there's somebody on the line that might need to use their phone. If you press star 6, if you're in a loud environment, press start 6. And if you want to get back on the line, all you have to do is press start 6 again. There we go. Alright, so one of the questions that you can ask is, well, do you mind if I get your name? And, you know, no one's going to say, well, I don't want to give you my name. I just want to know how much it's going to cost. You know, they're not going to do that. But there might be someone who does. But you want to present that. Now, you can say that, but also another thing you can say is say, I'd be more than happy to address your questions and concerns. But do you mind if I, you know, if I find out a little bit more about what's wrong? How can we help you? What is it that you're looking for? Now, if they say, well, I just want to know how much it's going to cost, then you can say, well, the complexity of your condition will really help determine how much it's going to be, how long it's going to be. And isn't that true, you guys?
Yes.
If someone's going to need to see you for 6 months, is it going to cost more than someone who's only going to need to see you for 4 visits? Do you guys understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
When they're saying how much is it going to cost, they're not asking, well, what is one session? They're not asking for the price of one session. Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. They're asking for the cost. What is it going to cost? Not just the price of one session or the price of one procedure. They're not asking for that. They're asking for the cost. And in order for you to actually accurately or somewhat accurately tell them what the cost is going to be, you need to understand the complexity of their condition. No? No? So, you want to ask a question. Do you mind if I get your name? Do you mind telling me what's wrong? What exactly you're suffering from? What exactly the problem is? So number two, you guys, what I'm trying to say is you have to dive into defining their problem. Get them to describe their problem. Now, number three, I'm just giving you some broad principles. You guys all know the activation steps. You guys have all gone through that training. And someone is still in the loud environment. Sorry. You're going to have to mute your phone. Something strange going on. All right. You guys have gone through the activation steps. You guys have some of those more detailed steps. But I want to give you just a broad principle. Number three, when they start describing to you their problem, you have to probe. Number three, you have to probe. You have to share. You have to ask them more questions, such as somebody, you know, some of you are muted, so I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. You're going to have to ask them questions such as, well, when did it start? When did it start? How did it start? Because a lot of times they'll tell you how, but, you know, if they don't, you want to ask, how did it start? So when did it start? How did it start? How bad is it? How bad is it? So find out if it's a little bit medium or a lot, the pain or the problem. You want to know, well, is there something that's impaired? Are you having difficulty? Are you having difficulty? What are some of those difficulties? You have to ask these questions. You have to probe because it sends a very, very important message that you are concerned, that you know what you're doing, and that you are a professional. I'm going to tell you, whenever I ask, you know, I whenever I go to a course or if I talk to someone who's an authority on something, I really pay attention to how they respond to me when I ask a question. If I ask a question and they just start blurting out the answer, I know that they're not very good. Because they did not take the time to fully understand the context of my question. But the authorities, the ones that I believe are really, really good, and you guys, everyone knows this, I know it, and I can actually recognize and acknowledge it and really define it, but most people know it already, but it's more instinctual. When you start asking them questions about, you know, when did it start, how did it start, how bad is it, are you having difficulties with this or that, they begin to sense that you know what you're doing. Now, some of you guys have heard this before, but I tell you, you need to hear it again and again and again because you're not doing it. You're not doing it. How do I know you're not doing it? Because when we test call you, you're not doing it. All right, number four. After you probe, now, I do not, receptionist activation people, I do not expect you to understand clinical conditions and diagnoses. I don't expect that. Nobody expects that. But what I want you to do, once you ask a few questions and you probe, number four, I want you to respond with, and you gotta have some faith in me, and you gotta have some faith in therapy, you gotta have some faith in your owner, you gotta have some faith in the physical therapist, and you have to have some faith in what we're capable of doing. But I want you to respond with this and say, you sound like a good candidate for our services. Number four, you sound like a good candidate. I'm gonna tell you, when you say that, those are healing words. Write that down. Those are healing words. When I have a problem or a need, and I call around for a solution, when businesses do this to me, a lot of businesses don't do it, by the way, but when businesses do it, when I get that rare situation where a business will do this to me and say, you know what? You are definitely what you're wanting, we can deliver. When they say that, I'm going to tell you, I begin to heal. The healing begins right then and there. Now, some of you receptionists might think, well, maybe this person is not an appropriate candidate. Well, that is not your job. Your job is not to determine that or to even assume. Don't even begin to assume because you just don't know. You've gotta leave that up to the therapist. Let the therapist evaluate them, screen them, and let them determine it, because I guarantee you, if the therapist believes that this person is not a candidate, I guarantee you that this person will still benefit, because we will provide resources or we will recommend some other, you know, entity, other service, other provider. We will do whatever is necessary for this person to get their needs met. And this person will benefit. So leave that up to us. So you sound like a good candidate for our services. Now number five, here's where a lot of receptionists, a lot of practices fail. After they say you sound like a good candidate, you sound like a great candidate, you sound like a perfect candidate for our services, number five, And there's still some noise going on, but do the best you can. Number 5. Let me go and just tell you what you should do. Number 5 is, when did you want to come in for an exam? What day and time works best for you? If a person is a candidate for your services, should the assumption be that this person is going to schedule? You guys, this is where I see a lot of receptionists fail, is they don't assume that this person wants to schedule. They don't embrace number one. So they begin to start asking, well, did you want a schedule appointment? Or they start asking, and a lot of times they don't even ask for the appointment. You should know, every receptionist, every activation person, you should know that whenever someone calls, whenever someone walks in, whenever someone emails, it's your job to assume that you're going to schedule the appointment. That's your mission. If a person doesn't schedule an appointment, will they ever solve their problem? If a person doesn't schedule the appointment, will they get their needs met?
Nope.
I'm going to tell you guys, the reason why this is so important that you, the receptionist activation person, assume the mindset and understand the situation that they're going to schedule an appointment. That's the whole point of them calling. That's the whole point of you answering the phone. And as long as you understand their problem, and as long as you let them know that they're a good candidate, you should assume they're going to schedule. Because what if they say, well, you know, I need to know how much it's going to cost first. Does the cost matter to you guys?
No.
I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter if they have insurance or not. It doesn't matter if they have money or not. Every one of us have treated patients for free. Every one of us, if we have somebody come in for a screening or an evaluation and they have a problem, and staff members, I need you to know this, that you have owners, you have therapists who, this is the way we are. We're very, very humanitarian. This is who we are. If somebody comes in and they have a problem or need and they have no money, we will still help solve their problem. That's who we are. What it costs doesn't matter. But I'm going to tell you, when after you tell somebody you're a good candidate for our services, what day works best for you? Number 5 is, what day works best for you for your examination? You better start going straight into, now the prospect, the potential patient is going to start asking questions. Some of them will just go ahead and schedule and say, you know what, Thursdays and Tuesdays work best for me, or whatever. But half of them are going to say, well, do you guys take this insurance? You know, how much is it going to cost? But you need to lead that whole interaction and that discussion into, let's get you scheduled. So you have to ask that question and say, what days and times work best for you? Now, I'm going to tell you guys, a lot of us even are like this. It's so important. You guys remember the story? You guys remember the story of the woman? The woman who got raped in the New York subway? in a full subway car, a woman got raped for 2 minutes, and no one did a thing. And so the rapist raped this woman for 2 minutes, and then got away. You guys remember this story, right?
Yep.
Now, I tell this story for a very, very important reason. Because the scientists, when they studied this whole thing and said, you know, how could somebody get raped in front of all these people and no one did a thing? You guys remember the answer, yeah?
Yep.
Yep.
What's the answer?
No one told them to.
You guys, we live in a society of people who are very indecisive. People who have good intentions, but are very indecisive. You guys, 7 out of 10 people, and that number is more like 8, but 7 out of 10 people, they won't do anything until they're told to do it. And this is so important for clinic owners, for you guys to understand. 7 out of 10 people won't do it until they're told to do it. People, even though people have a problem, even though they have an ailment, they have a diagnosis, they have an issue, even though they can't go to the bathroom, even though they can't brush their hair, they won't do anything about it. When somebody calls you or comes in or emails you and takes a step towards you, it is your job to tell them to come in. If you don't tell them to do it, if you don't take the initiative in that conversation to do it, most people won't. Even though they would benefit, even though after they solve their problem, they're gonna, you know what they're gonna say? They're gonna say, damn it, I should have done this 6 months ago. Damn it, I should have done this 2 years ago. Someone needs to pick up the phone. Alright. So it's very important that you find out what it works best for you for your examination. You guys, put the whole interaction into a zone where they're going to schedule. They are going to be a patient. And if you do, they will. If you don't, if you start to waver, receptionist activation. If you start to waver and don't assume, then if you start to show doubt, then they will start to show doubt. If you show confidence that, hey, you're a great candidate, I'm concerned about you, you really need to come in and get examined. If you take that tone, if you take that path, the person will. But if you start to say, well, I'm not really sure, but, you know, if you want, you can come in and we can do an examination. If you start taking that direction and creating doubt, creating unsurety, then the person will as well. Alright, given that said, you guys, the reason why I wanted to go over these 5 steps with you, the reason why is because these same 5 steps is the number one way to actually increase your elective service sales as well. For example, let's say you have a patient that's overweight, and they're a physical therapy patient, and it's their third or fourth visit, and your receptionist gives them a handout that says why you should consider our wellness program. And each one of you absolutely need to have a wellness program, have certain services that addresses weight loss, that addresses being more fit, that addresses people's stress and tension. You guys, these are huge problems right now. And these are huge desires. A lot of people are paying for weight loss, fitness, to feel good, to look good. Fitness, you guys, write this down. What is fitness? The definition of fitness? It's to look good, feel good. That's fitness. A lot of people are paying for weight loss. A lot of people are paying for fitness. A lot of people are paying for stress release and tension release. A lot of people are paying for it, whether it's Tai Chi, whether it's yoga, whether it's Pilates, whether it's dieting, whether it's diet foods, whether it's boot camp, whether it's exercises, whether it's Insanity or CrossFit or Ultimate Fighting. I mean, they're paying for it. Now, why you should consider our wellness program, I'm going to tell you, if you were to ask every one of your patients, do you have any goals to look good, look better? If you were to ask every patient, do you have any goals to look better? How many do you think would say yes?
All of them, yeah.
I'm going to tell you, if you were to ask me, I would say yes. I'm actually on a program right now to try to look better for the summer. And for Hawaii in November. I want to look good. But also, I want to feel better. Because I've been getting a little bit sluggish around midday, around 2 p.m. And I hate that because it hurts my productivity. So I'm even wanting to look better and feel better. And I'm paying for it. So people are like this right now. Now, if you were to ask them, do you want to look better, do you want to feel better, they're going to say yes. You say, well, once again, just like in the five-step thing, what do you do? What's number two? You guys remember?
Define the problem.
Probe and define. I'm going to tell you. Start defining it. Start finding, well, what is it that you want to do to your body? And I'm going to tell you right now, almost every woman, every female, this is what they want to do. Number one, what do you think?
To lose weight.
Where? Where?
Everywhere.
I know, but there are specific spots. Where?
The middle and the butt.
Stomach.
Belly and butt.
They want to lose inches from their weight.
Mm-hmm.
So should you measure their weight?
Yes.
If you measured their weight, and then after you measure their weight, should you tell them what their weight is supposed to be?
No.
Yes.
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 I don't even feel bad.
You should measure their weight, and then you should tell them based on your height, based on your height, your waist should be this many inches. Now don't tell them something that's too radical or that make them feel like it's impossible. Okay, like if they have a 30-inch waist, don't say you should be 18 inches. You know what I mean? Like, but should you measure their waist? Yes. And then also, women want to lose it around their hips and their thighs. Women want to lose inches around their hips and their thighs, around the trochanter. Should you measure their hips? Should you measure their thighs? Yes. 6 inches above the center of the patella.
You should,
you know, anywhere from six to 10 inches above the center. You should measure their thighs, and then you should let them know what, because a lot of the women, I'm going to tell you, they don't really know, they just want to look better, but they don't know exactly how to do it. They don't know how much they should lose. So you actually measure it. And someone needs to meet them. Now, how long does it take to measure? Oh, by the way, also, number four, when females, they want to increase the width of their shoulders. They want to work their delts. They wish they had broader shoulders. Because then it makes them look more shapely.
More like an hourglass.
Alright, so should you measure the delts too? Yes. Now how long does it take to measure? I'm going to tell you, you can do all four measurements in less than a couple of minutes, less than a few minutes. See, this is just like the activation, what you're doing is you're defining for them what their problem is. What it is that they're wanting, what the issues are, and you're giving them information and you're asking questions or you're determining, in this instance you're determining, and they feel like you are a professional, you know what you're doing, and it appears to them that you are the solution, that you can help deliver that they need. And when you do that, I'm going to tell you, the next step should be, you know what? You're a great candidate for our wellness program, our weight loss program, our fitness program, our tension release program. You're a great candidate for this program because, you know, you're not that far off from where you should be and where you could be, but you're going to look much better and you're going to feel incredibly better. You are a great candidate for our wellness program. If you want to do it, if you want to lose inches around your waist, around your hips, around your thighs, and have more tone, and more wider shoulders, have a more shapely body, if you want that, you're a great candidate for this program. Should the next question be, do you want to do it or not? Should it be, do you want to do it or not? Should that be the question?
No.
You guys, if someone tells you, this is what I want, and then you define what it is they want, and you know you can deliver it, should you go backwards and then ask, do you want to do it?
No.
That's like going backwards. You should immediately keep moving forward, which is, okay, let's, I'm going to tell you guys, receptionists, you need to say this more, the word let, L-E-T. Let's schedule your first session. Don't even ask questions. Let's schedule your first session. Let's get you evaluated by the therapist. And see what they say. If they say, well, I need to talk to my wife, what should you say?
Well, at least schedule the appointment. You can always call back and cancel if that's the case may be.
Absolutely. Well, let's go and at least reserve this spot for you. At least get it. And then if you have any questions or concerns or if you need to cancel it, we can do that. But let's at least get it scheduled. Now, when somebody says they need to talk to their wife or their husband, and I tell you, a lot of times what it is that they have certain, there's still certain questions in their head that's not been answered. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
There's still questions that haven't been answered. So what should the receptionist do if they say, I need to talk to my husband or my wife? And you guys, I'm not asking you to sell. All I'm saying is I want you to be a professional and you understanding that when someone says that, that psychologically that person feels that all the questions are not answered yet. So what should the receptionist do? Should they try one time? I'm just saying one time should you ask, all right, I definitely understand that. But let me just ask you one question. Is there anything that you have a question on that hasn't been answered? Probe once. Now you can do it by what I just said. Let me ask you one question. Is there something that was not answered? Or do you have a concern that I did not address?
James, can you hear me?
Wow, yeah, but there's a lot of that, yeah.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to ask, what if a patient is just very fearful of coming in because maybe of a past bad experience in whether it's another physical therapy place or just a medical setting in general? They just don't want to seek care. They feel like it's going to hurt them more because they have the perception that all we do is, you know, exercise with them and it's just going to make it worse. How do you usually address fear?
Well, if you were to give me more of a question or a concern, I mean, I don't like to start telling people why, start getting into the benefits and all of that and trying to convince them to come in. I like to more ask questions. And that works very well with most people. So if they seem hesitant, is that what you mean? Like, they seem hesitant?
Correct. Whether it's from a bad experience before or, I mean, I even have my own relatives like that. They're just afraid of anything, going to the dentist, going to the doctor, and getting care for physical therapy. They're just very fearful.
Well, then there's a few things that they need to hear. Number one is, you know, we are not like other offices, clinics. We are not like other clinics. Our patients love the treatment. They need to hear those words.
Right.
But if someone is hesitant, I like to try to find out why they're hesitant. And you guys, I'm not pushy, I don't keep digging into them. I just probe once. I say, you know, I sense you're a little bit hesitant. Do you mind sharing with me why? That's it. And if they say, well, you know, if they don't want to, I don't push it. But it's my duty, it's my responsibility, it's my professionalism that obligates me to probe once. And you know, this is the way I'm with my wife. If I sense there's something on her mind, it's my duty to say, hey, Hannah, is there something you want to talk to me about? That's my duty. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But if you guys do this, I'm going to tell you, you're going to get a lot more people coming in and doing what it is that they want to do, but you're leading them into not being indecisive about it. You're leading them into getting their problem solved where they will thank you later. They will say, you know what, I should have, man, I wish I would have known about you last year. I wish I had known about you 6 months ago. I mean, people are like this. They won't do it unless you lead them to do it. But once you lead them to do it, they will be forever grateful to you for not only your therapy, but for also your wellness services. You guys, I want all of you, receptionists, activation specialists, even your aides, assistants, therapists, to occasionally ask a person, hey, do you ever have any desire to look better and feel better? You should start inquiring more. Because I'm going to tell you, people do. And when you take a few measurements, tell them where they are. Take a few measurements, tell them where they could be or should be. Let's get you started on this program. The worst they can say is, no, I don't want to do it. And if they say, no, I don't want to do it, you should ask why. Do you mind if I ask why? Because, you know, you told me that you want to do this. You want to lose 3-4 inches off your waist. Probe one. All right, are there any questions? I'll tell you guys, if you just start giving away, you know, some of these quick measuring services, whether you check their body fat, whether you check their flexibility, whether you check their ability to, you can even measure cardiovascular, a 3-minute step test. You could measure their, you know, their hips, their waist. You can, another thing that I like to do is I like to test the person's ability to breathe diaphragmatically. You guys know what I'm talking about?
No.
A person that can't breathe through their diaphragm is under a lot of stress and tension in their neck and shoulder muscles and chest muscles. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
You guys, the next, tomorrow when you see patients, take one patient that you think stress, anxiety is a contributing factor to their musculoskeletal problem, and just have them breathe with their, you know, have them sitting, you guys, have them sitting, have them put their feet flat on the floor, have them sit with their shoulders directly over their trochanter, have them put their hands, their palms on their knees, and ask them to breathe in through their nose, but as they do it, their shoulders should not rise, their neck muscles should not tense, their chest should not expand. But when they breathe in through their nose, their stomach should expand. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And then breathe slowly out through their mouth, and as they breathe out slowly through their mouth, their stomach should retract, should come back in.
Mm-hmm.
Test it. I'm going to tell you, they won't be able to do it. They won't be able to do it. Now, if they don't do it, if they're not able to do it, I guarantee you, they need your stress relief program. They need to be taught on how to relieve their stress. Because if you don't do this, you guys, if you don't do this, that patient, no matter how many joint MOBs, no matter how many soft tissue MOBs you do, how many neural tension flossing you do, no matter how many, you know, how much you do this stuff, they're not going to heal as fast, and they're not going to improve the quality of their life. You guys understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I'm going to tell you, do not become tunnel vision because of what you learned in school or by what you did not learn in school. Do not become narrow-minded and tunnel vision. You have to address stress relief. And if you do this test and they can't do it, I guarantee you, and you don't address it, I guarantee you no doctor, no physicians are addressing it. I guarantee you chiropractors are not addressing it. I guarantee you the Pilates instructor is not addressing it. I guarantee you that the yoga instructor is not addressing it. I guarantee you that Jenny Craig is not addressing it. I guarantee you these things. If you don't address it, I guarantee you, you are not going to improve the quality of this person's life. You might decrease inflammation in their shoulder, in their knee, but you're not going to improve the quality of this person's life. Did you guys go into therapy to become a mechanic? To become a mechanic?
No.
Or did you go into therapy to change lives? Why did you go into therapy?
Make an impact in people's lives, yeah.
To change lives, yeah? That's why I did. You need to address it. Now, from the sitting position of diaphragmatic breathing, the next step to make it more difficult is to do it in the supine position. Crook line position. Then, supine position, and then standing with their arms over their head. And you progress them to these levels so they can diaphragmatically breathe. You strengthen and you re-innervate and you re-educate their diaphragm. You would not believe how much this affects their stress and tension. Every person with a neck problem, every person that comes into your practice that has neck pain, you better be teaching them how to diaphragmatically breathe. Every patient that comes into your clinic with a shoulder problem, they should be adding on paying extra for how to diaphragmatically breathe. Because I wish I can go more into this with you, but our time is up. Are there any questions?
James, do you have some kind of like a handout that you give or a education material or maybe in the therapy article world about how to teach it properly, the diaphragmatic breathing, or even something we can give out to the patient?
Yeah, we are actually in the process of creating a lot of these resources, video as well.
Okay.
And those are going to be made available to all the partners. Mm-hmm. But I don't want you to wait because you don't need to have a lot of these to sell them the stress relief program and start teaching them. You don't need to have it, so don't wait. Start doing it now. Once we're done, then we'll make them available to you.
Okay. And it's okay to charge them cash for it, even if it could fall under self-care management? You know what I mean?
If someone comes into you for neck pain, because they, you know, whatever, from work or from trauma or an accident, whatever, I guarantee the insurance is not going to pay you to teach them how to diaphragmatically breathe.
Well, yeah, that's true.
So you should not do it for free. You shouldn't add it into your treatment for free. What you should do is check it and say, hey, you know what, I'm very concerned because you're actually breathing through your neck and chest muscles. You know, it puts a lot of tension and stress on your neck and shoulders. And it appears that you might have regular stress and tension. So Now, obviously, your insurance isn't going to cover it, but I do believe it's going to affect your, you know, your rehab, affect your recovery. You can add it. I definitely think recommend you should add it to your sessions. It only costs you $15, $20, whatever, and it's only 6 sessions. So it's, you know, for $99 or whatever, that, you know, we can address it, and I believe it's going to really help you. And so if you say that, people are going to buy it. They're going to pay $100. They're going to pay $90 some to add it to the session. But you have to first test it and let them feel like, wow, you know what, he's testing something, and, you know, I'm showing that I'm not good at it, which indicates that I have a lot of tension, which I do. I have a lot of stress, and I need to, and I want to feel better. Whether insurance pays for it or not, I want to feel better. Because the stress and tension program isn't just teaching them how to diaphragmatically breathe. It's also releasing all the pressure points in their entire body.
Right.
Which insurance isn't going to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
But diaphragmatic breathing is a big part of it. So you teach them, and then you review it each time they come in. But you make an extra $100 on this patient. But not only it's not just $100 isn't going to make anybody rich, but, you know, you get a lot more people doing it, but the main thing is that they feel better, and their quality of their life's improved, where they're more likely to bring in their family and friends. Because you actually impacted their life.
Mm-hmm.
Not just rotated their tires.
Right.
Now, owners, you have to get your receptionist trained and on board to make people aware of it, to promote it, and to inquire about people wanting it, and then lead them to just do it. Because until these patients really feel that you've impacted the quality of their life, they will not tell their neighbors. They're like, oh my gosh, you guys have to meet James. You have to go and see James. He's incredible. They won't say stuff like that. All right, you guys, have a great night.
You too, James. Thank you very much. Okay.